Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And have you heard about the showdown between city and state officials and Lyft? That's L-Y-F-T, the San Francisco-based ride-sharing company that had planned to launch here in New York City last Friday. Maybe you've seen the photos of their cars, which are adorned with big pink mustaches. You download an app, summon a car, get driven to your destination, and the app automatically charges your credit card to pay your driver. That payment is characterized by Lyft as a, quote, suggested donation. But some government agencies see it differently. In the days leading up to the planned launch, city and state officials claimed that Lyft was going to break the law by using drivers without taxi commission licenses or commercial insurance. Three agencies, including the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, sent cease and desist letters. The TLC even threatened to seize Lyft's cars and fine the drivers. It all came to a head a few hours before the first drivers hit the streets, when a Manhattan judge blocked the company from launching. Will they be back? John Zimmer joins us right now. He's the co-founder and president of Lyft. John, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Where do we stand right now? When do you hope to be in business, and in what way in New York City?
So we hope to be in business very soon in New York City. The ultimate goal is to have the same operations that we have in 65 cities across the country with peer-to-peer drivers. You know, that includes teachers. In the case of New York, we had members of a fire station, pastors, people that are in school that are part of the community driver program. And they've all been screened with criminal background checks, driving record checks, and provided with the platform of $1 million of commercial insurance.
Are they screened in the same way and to the same degree as regular New York City taxi cab drivers? Because I think that's one of the concerns.
Yeah, in many cases, actually, the screening we do goes beyond what is done by for existing industries. So in a specific example of that, with criminal background checks and driving record checks, often the criteria that we have, whether that's, no DUIs, no reckless driving in the past 7 and 3 years, that is more strict than what the existing industries are held to.
And we'll see if the government comes to agree with that. I want to play for our listeners a video that's from your website that stresses the social aspect of Lyft. Here's 23 seconds worth.
Save money, get to where you need to go, and meet a new friend. Maybe you went to the same grade school, or you share a love for homemade pizza. Let's make our cities feel small again and use technology to bring us together instead of apart. Because getting around should be as easy as calling a friend.
Meet a new friend? Maybe you went to the same grade school or share a love for homemade pizza? Really? Are you selling your car service business as a way to connect with old friends like Facebook?
Yeah, well, I think, for the last decade, people have been focused on getting people connected online. And I think for the next decade in front of us, that, what we're going to be able to do is connect people offline in a meaningful way. And that's a big part of what we're about. And it's really what we're trying to create is the ultimate form of public transportation, where you have lots of unused personal vehicles, lots of empty seats. In fact, 80% of seats are empty at all times in cars that are driving on our roads and highways. And there's a huge opportunity to provide the most affordable transportation in a very safe way now through technology. And that's what we're doing across the country. We've provided over 10 million rides.
Is there a coded racial appeal in that? I mean, if most of the taxi passengers in New York are white and most of the drivers are from Pakistan and Nigeria and Haiti and places like that, are you saying, instead of getting one of those strange drivers from who knows where, you're going to get one of your old friends from grade school?
No, absolutely not. What we have, we just had our community driver event last week, where we had the first 500 drivers that were signed up to be part of the program. And what they actually told us is that they are unable to get, they put pins on a map of where they're from, and they were all around the outer boroughs. And what they told us is that taxis weren't stopping to pick them up to give them rides. And look, this is not a zero-sum game. There needs to be multiple options. I think, You know, New York taxis are some of the best in the world. The public transportation here is phenomenal. I mean, what we're trying to say is that not all places in the outer boroughs specifically are getting rides, and that the best way to do that is to use personal vehicles that already exist and community members that are part of those communities.
Would this be generally for the outer boroughs? Is that your target? Is this you'd be competing with the green cabs mostly?
Yeah, the plan for launch is Queens and Brooklyn. And today, 95% of taxi pickups happen in either Manhattan or an airport. So there's a huge, you know, underserved opportunity in the outer boroughs.
So there may not be the same racial component that I mentioned in the Manhattan-centric and airport-centric clientele, I guess, is part of your answer. But when the Taxi and Limousine Commission heard that you were coming on today, they reached out to us and sent this statement on behalf of Commissioner Mira Joshi, and I'm going to read it. Quote, "We are pleased that the court recognized the potential risk to public safety posed by allowing Lyft to operate without licensed drivers or vehicles. The city has a well-documented history of embracing new technology that improves the passenger experience, but we must also be vigilant about the safety and consumer protections that our laws and rules provide. In the meantime," the statement says, "we hope to continue working closely with Lyft to see that they fulfill their commitment to operate in a lawful capacity." And the end of that was really interesting to me. It almost seemed like you're in talks with the TLC rather than just trying to shut you down or prevent you from entering as, you know, an illegitimate branch of the taxi industry altogether. "We hope to continue working closely with Lyft to see that they fulfill their commitment to operate in a lawful capacity." Are some kinds of negotiations taking place between you and the TLC?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're talking with all the parties, and we too are optimistic that you know that we can all come together as we have in many other cities. I think oftentimes, you know, when there's something new, there needs to be that dialogue, and both sides are at the table, and both sides, you know, are working hard to get somewhere that works.
So what do you have to give in this in order to win the approval of the TLC and win the approval of the court that you didn't have last week when you were hoping to launch?
I think that the conversations are still ongoing. I think there are ways to, you know, with our existing peer-to-peer model, for the city to have oversight to make sure that all the things that we say we're doing, criminal background checks, driving record checks, and insurance, can be checked by whatever agency, in this case, the TLC. And so I think that those are some of the things that we would need to figure out.
And by the way, listeners, we will have the TLC commissioner, Mira Joshi, on soon in one of the coming days to get more of their side of the dispute with Lyft and also a chance to get to know the new TLC commissioner in general and talk about the changing taxi landscape that we have in New York City. So that'll be coming up sometime within the next few shows. But our guest is John Zimmer, the co-founder and president of Lyft, LYFT, which is trying to launch in New York City. And if you have any questions, 212-433-WNYC. And Sally in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Love your show. And I was in St. Louis when Lyft tried to launch operations, and I'm curious as to how that turned out. That in that case, that's a city that desperately needs as many transportation options as it can get. I'm surprised to see it in New York because we have so many different modes of transportation, which leads me to my question, which is, how do you, if I were to sign up for Lyft and give you my credit card and you use the app to charge it, what is the rate and how does that compare to, say, other car service? And taxi rates. Is it a whole lot cheaper or is it about the same?
Right. How do you charge?
So it's typically
And Sally, thank you. Go ahead.
It's anywhere from 10 to 30% less expensive than maybe a comparable taxi ride, depending on the city. It's the suggested amount is based off of the time and distance of the ride.
But this idea of suggested donations. Really? Suggested donations? What is it? The the Metropolitan Museum? I mean,
yeah. No, this stems from our first business that we had, which was called Zimride, where we were doing long distance ride shares from college campuses to to people's hometown. So basically replacing the old ride board that existed on many college campuses. And the way it worked was through the suggested donation. And so then when we launched our short distance ride platform called Lyft, we kept that model. So that's where it comes from.
But Allison on our comments page writes, I don't understand why this type of service where a person rents their belongings to a stranger is called sharing. Let's call this what it is. It's not sharing. It's just a business transaction, although albeit a micro business transaction, she writes. Is that wrong?
I don't know how important the word choice is. You know, this is peer-to-peer, I think, is an important part. These are people using their personal vehicles, and they're going from point A to point B, and someone is sharing that ride, you could say, or taking that ride, or providing that ride.
So you negotiate with the driver beforehand?
No. The app at the end of the ride provides that suggested amount.
Right,
and then the passenger decides what the final amount is.
Unilaterally?
Yes.
And then Lyft, the company, takes 20% of whatever that is, right? That's cut.
Right. That's right.
And the driver keeps 80%.
That's right.
So here's Richard in Queens who wants to be one of those drivers. Right, Richard?
Yes. Can you hear me, Brian?
Sure can.
Well, I went to sign up, and it was a good experience. I thought the person running the meeting was great. However, when I asked if it was already worked out with the city and TLC, I was told yes. And I asked if we would have a problem as drivers, and they said, no, you will have no problem. But I had said to the person running the meeting that it's a clear problem.
Well, it's a problem because they haven't settled it yet, so they haven't been allowed to launch in New York City. Do you have a projected timeline? Are you going to be in business before or after a Long Island Railroad settlement?
we hope we can be there before to help, you know, provide rides to those if there is no service. But either way, we are working hard, as is the TLC and other agencies to find the right path forward.
But seriously, in a matter of days is what your hope is.
That's right.
Here's a fan, I think, Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you've used Lyft elsewhere?
Yeah, I've used Lyft in Washington, D.C. I really enjoy it. I find the experience really great. The drivers are always really friendly. And I think one thing about the share economy, which is part of the larger share economy, is that, you know, people are able to, you know, leverage their assets. In this case, they're a car that's sitting latent in their driveway, or leverage their talents, you know, in different other websites or things like that.
Are you worried, though, when you characterize the sharing economy, the peer-to-peer economy, that informally, are you not worried about safety, about, you know, commercial driver's license qualifications and insurance and that kind of thing, where you can be secure if you're getting into an actually licensed taxi?
I'm not really worried about it because I think most of the licensing in that regard is mostly about incumbents protecting their own interests and keeping people out. I mean, I think a lot of the reason the TLC and other organizations in other cities don't want them involved is because, let's say, the medallion protects a lot of people with a lot of power. And, I mean, if you look at the way the Lyft works, for example, the driver rates the passenger and the passenger rates the driver. The Lyft has my picture, has my Facebook account, it has my credit card information.
So the driver rates the passenger too?
Yeah, there's a mutual reputational incentive for each person to behave, and that doesn't exist in a normal setting. And I know that when I use, unfortunately I can't use Lyft in New York, but I do use Uber a lot. Mm-hmm. I want to use Lyft as soon as possible in New York. But it's the same type of thing where I talk to drivers all the time. They feel much safer because of this reputational model. And it is a much more friendly experience because you feel like it is part of this community where
you like the peer-to-peer economy. Steve, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much and get a different take from a yellow cab driver, Cassius in Brooklyn. Hi, Cassius.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, I've been a yellow cabbie for almost a couple of years, and all of us drivers have seen work taken away from us already from the introduction of the green cabs, and also from Uber. You know, we've already had like too much damage done to our shifts, to our industry. We just can't handle this crazy situation of all these startup businesses, you know, kind of invading our territory and our livelihood. We do have the right to think about being able to make enough money. The shifts are very long, a minimum 10-hour shifts. You know, it's 10 to 12 hours. And
so purely from the standpoint, and you're being straight up about it, of too much competition, because it's already hard enough to make a living as a cab driver.
Yeah. And really, it's just, you know, the shifts are so difficult by themselves. It's very stressful just dealing with the traffic in the city. And, you know, and then there's stuff like Uber. They're a highly unethical company. I wish the TLC would block them also completely out of the city. None of the drivers ever receive any of the tip money that is that Uber says automatically charges 20% to each passenger. You can go on Yelp for Uber in this city and see all these nightmare stories of passengers stranded out in far-flung neighborhoods.
And also, Uber is kind of micro-market-based. So if there's a lot of demand right in your neighborhood right at the moment for taxis, Uber's going to charge you more. That's different from a yellow cab or a green cab or a livery cab or, it sounds like, Lyft. Cassius, thank you very much. And John Zimmer, president of Lyft, what would you say to Cassius about his various concerns, and would you distinguish yourself from Uber in particular ways?
Yeah, you know, one, I would say, you know, I really believe that this is not a zero-sum game, and I think that taxis are incredibly necessary and, you know, a good service in Manhattan and in New York as a whole, and something that we need. I think that we need complementary services as well, with the ultimate goal of making it in the outer boroughs unnecessary to own a car. And I think that's important that there are multiple services. I also think that having, you know, multiple of these app-based products is important because, you know, then, you know, there will be competition such that drivers are treated as best as possible. You know, in our case, the drivers maintain 80% of anything that's exchanged. You know, and I believe that is, you know, better than some of the existing industries, what a driver would keep.
What's your experience, by the way, in the cities in which Lyft already operates? If it's really a voluntary and, you know, donation or contribution might not really be the right word since it is a business transaction, but if the fee is voluntary, do you find that people are being cheap and just about stiffing your drivers? Are people paying more than they would pay in a yellow cab voluntarily because they value the relationship and the fact that the onus is on them to come up with a fair amount? What's your actual experience?
The actual experience is that it falls out close to the suggested amount, like within a few percentage points. There are people that go below, and there are the people that want to provide more. So it actually averages out to be about the suggested donation.
By the way, do you think the medallion system is a racket, where the city controls and even sells at high prices a limited number of taxi licenses known as medallions, and that there should be more of a system of, if anybody, like drivers for Lyft, can meet basic safety and insurance standards and, you know, quality of service standards, then anybody should be able to use their car for taxi service?
I think competition is helpful to get, you know, better situation for both drivers and passengers. But I think that, you know, there's also differences in what we're trying to do from what taxis do and from what Uber does. And I just want to make that distinction. One thing that we are okay with and have said across the country is we're okay with regulations, you know, regulations that focus on safety. But for drivers that are typically part of the Lyft community, they're not doing this as a 50 hours per week thing. You know, they're students, they're single parents, their teachers, and therefore we're just saying there should be another process that doesn't require something like $5,000 of costs up front so that people in areas where there needs to be better transportation options or more transportation options could be able to fill those needs.
So you've got these cars with the pink mustaches. If you get going in New York City, they will be unmistakable. You had this launch party before the launch that didn't take place. You're going to have another launch party when you come to an agreement with the TLC?
We'll see. No plans right now, but we will. We would love to celebrate with the community when we're able to move forward.
And if our guest prediction is true, it is just days from now that Lyft and the TLC will come to an agreement for there to be an additional kind of taxi service in New York City. We'll see what happens. John Zimmer is the co-founder and president of LYFT Lyft. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.